Staying with cancer trials, another Canadian study has shown huge disparities in studies done in rich versus low and middle income countries, LMICs, with potentially enormous consequences. Christopher Booth is Professor of Oncology and Public Health Sciences at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario.
About 5 years ago, I had the chance to live and work in South India on sabbatical. So my family and I moved there, and I worked at a large cancer center during that time. So over the last 5 years, I've become increasingly involved in what we call global oncology, which is looking to see how we can improve cancer outcomes for patients regardless of where they live. And working very closely, predominantly with my colleagues in India, I realized that there was many things that the cancer system was not doing to adequately address the public health burden of cancer worldwide, and it was disproportionately focused on high-tech, expensive treatments that would only be treatment options in very rich countries, and for the most part, actually offer fairly small benefits. And so together with colleagues in the UK and India and globally, we decided to launch an investigation to test that hypothesis and to evaluate whether, in fact, global cancer research efforts matched the burden of disease. And so what we did in this study was we asked the question about, okay, let's take a look at all randomized control trials in cancer, testing new chemotherapy, surgery, or radiotherapy interventions. And we didn't restrict it to any high-profile journals or North American or European journals. We said, let's look at everything. So we did an exhaustive search, and we found almost 700 randomized control trials published over a period of 4 years, testing various forms of chemotherapy, surgery, and radiation. And the first thing that we found was we classified each study as being led by an investigator in a high-income country or in a low or middle-income country. And so the first kind of alarm bell that emerged from the data was that 92% of all clinical trials are led by investigators in high-income countries. So then we asked the question, well, does the distribution of trials across different types of cancer match the global burden of various forms of cancer? And what we found is that it did not. We found that, in fact, cancers that are considered more common in affluent countries appear to be overrepresented, and cancers which are classically associated with poverty or seen more commonly in low and middle income countries are underrepresented. So specific examples are breast cancer, which represents 7% of global cancer deaths, represents 17% of all cancer clinical trials done in the world. Conversely, a cancer like esophagus or gastric cancer, which represents 14% of global cancer deaths, was underrepresented with only 6% of clinical trials. And we found similar findings for other cancers that are classically associated in low and middle income countries, such as liver cancer and cervical cancer, which are vastly underrepresented when it comes to global cancer research efforts.
How much of this is because the vast majority of randomized controlled trials in cancer are sponsored by drug companies?
In the last number of decades, the cancer research ecosystem, when it comes to randomized controlled trials, is almost exclusively driven by the pharmaceutical industry. So therefore, as you suggest, it's not surprising they are predominantly based in affluent countries, and they're testing cancers where there is going to be a large market share. And not to say that we don't need clinical trials in those cancers, obviously those are very important, but it's therefore not totally surprising that cancers which predominantly affect patients in LMICs are understudied. But this is one of the key findings.
If you go back 30, 40 years in the West, in rich countries, the capacity to do good randomized control trials was terrible. I mean, it was absolutely appalling. We had journals, and they still are to some extent, full of small, badly designed randomized trials that didn't give you an answer yet were promoted heavily. And it's still a problem today, even in rich countries. But there's been this enormous effort through the Cochrane Collaboration and others to increase the literacy in terms of being able to do clinical trials properly. Now, you talk about lead investigators, you know, only 8% coming from lower or middle income countries. The question is, how far, I'll use the word behind, I'll get slammed for it, but to what extent do they have the capacity and the knowledge to be able to do a good randomized trial? Because doing a lousy randomized trial is probably worse than doing no trial.
No, it's a good point. So, I mean, having lived and worked in India, and you know, my Indian colleagues would completely agree with this statement, I'm sure, is there are major gaps in infrastructure, capacity, and experience in some centers and LMICs to run clinical trials. And that's predominantly driven by, I guess, a handful of factors. The first is that the oncologists in those countries have huge clinical volumes. This is something
else. So they just don't have time to do research.
They don't. So a busy oncologist in Australia or Canada, UK might see 15 or 20 or perhaps 25 patients in a day. And my colleagues in India were seeing 60, 80, sometimes 100 patients a day. So the clinical volumes are totally overwhelming. And the other thing that we're actually quite fortunate in high-income countries is that in medical training, we have a fair bit of exposure to critical appraisal, evidence-based medicine, and research methods. And this is something that traditionally has not been taught in most medical schools and LMICs. It's beginning to change.
Is this a job for the Gates Foundation, for example?
Yeah, I agree, Norman. If we track clinical trials going back 20 or 30 years, the majority of them were funded by non-governmental organizations, philanthropic groups, and government grants. And the government grants in particular have become harder and harder to get. So I think to remedy this imbalance, both in the West and also in LMICs, I think we need philanthropic organizations and governments to step up and to fund clinical trials that will impact cancer care all over the world and does not only test expensive new interventions. So one of the other key findings is that in our study, we found that 87% of all clinical trials are testing drugs. Only 13% are testing surgery and radiation. At the end of the day, there's a handful of drugs that cure cancer, but most patients who are cured of cancer are cured with surgery and radiation, yet only 13% of clinical trials are testing that. And for the large part, that's because there's not a huge amount of industry interest in testing those. Moreover, even when it comes to drugs, there's numerous examples of collaboration between Canada and Australia of clinical trials that are funded by government grants or non-governmental sources. So I co-lead an international trial with colleagues actually in Sydney asking whether exercise following chemotherapy can increase the cure rate of colon cancer. You can imagine that type of research is not of interest to the pharmaceutical industry, yet those trials are very, very important for patients and to improve quality of care in the future. So we need to recalibrate the funding envelope to ensure that we can ask, you know, clearly some of the new drugs have a huge benefit for patients and we don't want to ignore those, but we've shifted so far to the other extreme that we're ignoring the opportunities to answer questions that will impact patients both in high-income countries, but also fundamentally in lower resource settings. One of the other interesting things is that I believe there's an opportunity for what we call bi-directional learning, where traditionally global health has been almost a colonial model where information only flows in one direction. But I think actually we have an opportunity to learn from our colleagues who work in these much higher volume scenarios and who have been forced to become creative with new models of care and new ways of asking research questions. So two follow-up points on that. The first is that what we saw is that randomized trials from LMICs tend to be smaller, they're more efficient, they're more likely to be positive, and when they are positive, the benefit of the new treatment versus old is larger than trials that come from high-income countries. So I think we have some things to learn about the efficiency of clinical research and also how to ask and test the questions from our colleagues in LMICs. And the second thing, just to follow up on, is we've shown very strong evidence of a systemic publication bias. And what I mean by this is we looked at the journals that all of these clinical trials are published in. And as you know, journals have what's called an impact factor. And what we found is that randomized trials from high-income countries are published in journals that have much, much higher impact factors than clinical trials from LMICs. And it's been said before that positive trials end up in higher impact journals than negative trials. But even when we control for that, we found that a positive clinical trial from a lower middle-income country is published in a journal of far, far lower impact than even a negative randomized trial from a high-income country. And this, again, doesn't come as a surprise to my friends and colleagues in LMICs who for years have found these structural and systemic biases or barriers to getting the work that they do in their context out into the mainstream medical establishment. So I think this is another really important finding from our paper. And I'm actually very pleased that one of the mainstream journals was willing to publish this because it doesn't make our community look very good. And I'm hoping by getting this information out there, it will facilitate greater awareness of the important work that comes out of low and middle income countries.
Christopher Booth, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much.